The early Christians, they were Jewish. They had a regular practice of going to the temple to pray. That is why Peter and John were going to the temple at the ninth hour, which is at 3 p.m. of our time. But this time they were going to pray through the name of Christ. After Jesus' coming and his death and resurrection, they believed that he fulfilled what it means to be Jewish. So they were going there as those who are coming in the light of Christ. And as they were going there, there was this man being carried there as well. The man who was paralyzed throughout the whole of his life. And in chapter 4, later on, we are going to read that actually he was over 40 years old. And he was being carried there because that would be the most likely place for him to receive some money, to be able to sustain himself. Being paralyzed, he couldn't work. Being paralyzed, he was the outcast in the society. Being paralyzed, he would not be allowed to enter into the temple to worship God. Yet he was brought to where people were worshiping God. And people might hate the church in our society. They can rave how awful the church is, but where do they go when they need help? People expect that our job is to help. So this layman, he wants to be there because he hopes that people will give him some money, that people will care for him. And then Peter and John come. And what happens is they lock their eyes together with him. That's what we don't want to do when we see begging people. We tend not to look at them, feeling sorry for them, feeling sorry that we cannot help them. So even if it feels wrong, that's not what we do. And that's how it always was. Just imagine the life this man had, being paralyzed from his birth. And he barely even made an eye contact with others. But this time is different. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Peter and John say, "Look at us." And what a hope that brought. He thought they will give me some money. But Peter wants to be clear that something else is happening here. In Acts chapter 2, we have seen that the early disciples, they were looking after one another. They were selling their possessions to make the needs for others. But here we see something far much greater. They say, "Our pockets are quite empty, but we have a far much greater gift that we can offer. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And Peter wants to be clear that it is Jesus Christ who is performing this act of mercy. This lame man, he heard the voice of Peter, but it was Jesus who was speaking to him. You might hear my voice tonight, but is it Jesus whom you are hearing? when you hear the word of God. And just imagine what it must have felt to be able to have the whole weight of your body on your feet. Peter, verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Luke, who wrote this book, being a doctor by profession, was into the details like this. What a great thing. They had no money, but they gave him something better. They pointed him to Jesus. This is always the message you are going to hear. This is always the message we will never be tired of proclaiming here and receiving. Jesus Christ, it is him whom we preach and crucified because we are sinners and we need salvation. And now, just imagine that you were one of these Jews who were around in the temple at that time. And as a Jew, you would know the prophecy of Isaiah by heart. And Isaiah 35, verses 4 to 6 would come to your mind. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer. Hallelujah! Absolutely. And the tongue of the mute sing for joy, for waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. That's Isaiah again, 700 years before these events. All people saw that. No one could deny what happened. And they knew this lame man. They knew whom he was. If you are into football, oftentimes you will see that there is something happening and suddenly a footballer, he just goes down. And you just expect him to be up on his feet very shortly. That's not what it is here. This wasn't a football player who goes down and you know he is going to get back up. This is the man whom you would see day by day for 40 odd years. And the only thing you would expect is to him die like that. And we love illustrations. This is a real story, but this man is an illustration of our condition, of our helplessness. Just think about it. This man cannot do a thing for himself. He has to be carried from wherever he lives to the temple where the people of God are. And he is hopeless. The very same thing has to take place every single day. Every single day. If my friends will not turn up, I will die of hunger. And we see here the grace of God in action. This man did not wave his hand, saying, Peter and John, please come and heal me. That's not what he said. He was begging for money. It was them that went to him, and they healed him. Or rather, it was Jesus, by his Spirit, acting through them to heal him. So he is restored to humanity. He is praising God. That's what God does for us, beloved. He takes the first step. He comes to us and He brings us life with a capital L and restores us to His image. This man is a picture of what God does for us. This man is a picture of redemption we have in Jesus. This healing, even this healing, is a sign of resurrection. For the same Greek verb describes Peter's action towards the lame man, he raised him up. As the triune gods, that is Father, Son, and Spirit's rising of Jesus from the dead. Raise up! And people see the change. He is walking and jumping and praising God, something which he was never able to do before. When God works in you, beloved, others will see the change. Something so different. Because God is different. God is not of this world. And when He works with you, you are just different to what you always were before. And He holds fast to the apostles at verse 11 while He clung to Peter and John. There is no such a thing as a secret disciple. He does not go on His own separate way, but clings to those who represent Jesus in the world. And that is what's happening to us when we are genuinely born again. We want to be with the church. Why? Because we want to hear more about Jesus. We want to be with Him as we are with His body. And a relief of something that was a temporary problem. Him being lame, that was a temporary problem. There would be a day when that would end. When he would die. After that, he would not be lame anymore. Relief of that paved the way to declare the gospel that deals with the eternal problem. But also something that we should bear in mind. It's true that we can preach the gospel in any venue, any circumstance. But when mercy is applied to hurting people, especially then by God's providence, oftentimes a declaration of the gospel, of good news that there is salvation for all those who will turn from their sins to Christ, that has more impact. And beloved, let's be clear. Mercy that we show to others, this is not the gospel. It never was. In fact, this is the law. But it helps those whose ears are blocked. Isaiah 35 again. Because of their pain, their ears are blocked. And then they hear the gospel. And it is often, being heard as well by those around the hurting one, like here in Acts chapter 3. It's not only the lame man who experienced that mercy and heard the gospel. People around heard it as well. And beloved, make no mistake about that. Chapter 4 will give you the number 5,000. They do not know what's coming, but they are ready to hear. And God's word as an explanation of the sign immediately follows. We saw that before in Acts chapter 2. With Acts chapter 2 and Pentecost. Even the same person was preaching. Sign is followed by a speech. Oftentimes we think that if people would be able to see something, if we would live in the age of apostles, when the miracles will be taking place, people will be flocking to the churches. No. Chapter 4 gives an explanation why these 5,000 came to faith, because they have heard. Because they have heard. Not because they have saw something. They have heard. Signs and miracles, they were never the goal or the purpose. They were incomplete without declaration of God's word that would follow. And Peter does not stand up and say, this is what happened because I have a gift of healing. He doesn't have a crusade and say to people, be healed. What he says begins in verse 12. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? He says, it wasn't me. But hold on a minute. We have just seen with our own eyes that it was you who did it. And then he gets his attention. And he points them away from himself, away from the lame man, to the one who is the center of it all. It is not just to the lame man that he says, I have no silver and gold, but what I have, I give to you. Christ Jesus. And three titles that Peter gives to Jesus. He calls him servant of the Lord. That is why we have read from Isaiah 53 and many other passages. He captures their attention and points them to what Christ achieved. Not as an abstract mission, but something for you and for me, like for them. And he calls them holy and righteous one. And when pointing his finger at them, beloved, he is also pointing his finger at you and me. And if we are not trusting Christ, if we think that God accepts us because of what we do or something, then we likewise are denying holy and righteous one, because he came so that we might know God. And beloved, make no mistake about it, never. Because the consequences are that you will deny the only one who is holy and righteous one. And he calls him the author of life. And it's both a physical life and a spiritual life. Because Jesus is the only one who can give eternal life. And if you have this life, then it will be impossible for you to stay dead. Even when you die. The attention is away from the lame man and is centered on Jesus. It was in his name that man was healed. And if there was ever a time when a preacher would not want to mention the name of Jesus, that was back then. He was in the lion's den, if you like. These people have crucified Jesus. Not that long ago. And yet, Peter specifically calls Jesus by his name. And by mentioning him and all the prophets, he is rocking their boat. He points them to the fact that they have it all wrong, that they are upside down, and they need to be right way up. All the prophets, Moses, Samuel, and others, were saying that in that way God will achieve salvation and the restoration of all things, that He will save and gather people like you and me to yourself in that way, through Christ. And that was the unified message of the prophets. But Peter was also preaching what they did, because the message of Christ is never complete without being convicted of sin. Why would you need Jesus if you are perfectly okay? Verse 13. Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate. Verse 14. You denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. Verse 15. You killed the author of life with preaching of the gospel comes conviction of sin. Without that, you would never turn to Jesus, because you would see no need. So the question to all of us tonight is, what are we to do with this fresh revelation of Jesus? What should we do in the light of this fresh revelation about Christ, of whom you have heard again? The answer is there in the text, verse 19. Repent. Turn to Christ. And that message, beloved, will never get old. Beloved, sometimes we can see when driving. Last time I saw it when we were in Wales a couple of years ago. Beware of falling rocks. But I'm always troubled when I see signs like that, because I don't know what to do. Am I to slow down? Am I to speed up? This is not the case here. The message is clear. You know what to do. Repent and turn to Christ and live. Rise up and walk like you never did. Why? So that the times of refreshing for your soul might come. And that is what we need to be so concerned about. There is that question that bugs me. And this question is directed to myself and to all of us in this room. When was the last time when I knew that refreshing in my soul? If ever, beloved, turn to Christ. And Peter ends this sermon with warning, verses 22 and following. He sets forth Jesus. He says the promises of God, salvation that was accomplished. All these good things, like refreshment for your soul, even on a day like this one. But there comes a warning that if you will not hear him, if you will ignore Jesus, then you will be destroyed from among the people. Verse 23. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet, Jesus, shall be destroyed from the people. If you will not listen to Jesus, what did he say to all of us at the beginning of the service? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. But if you will not listen, then on the day of judgment, he will execute his wrath of God upon you for your sins. But verse 26 says, "But God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness." Don't deny him. Amen. Hallelujah. And praise the Lord. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.